truly incredible. It's truly incredible how time flies. How quickly time goes by. And I'm not going to say just that it feels like yesterday that we were here together, many of us, by the Kaisel Ma'aravi, Leil Ne'ilah, Leil Yom Kippur, singing together, gaining chizik together. But it literally feels like yesterday that some of us were together right here a year ago. Last January. One full year ago. It's unbelievable how time passes us by. Someone mentioned to me they remembered what we spoke about a year ago. And I think I want to continue the same theme. Because I don't know if there's anything more important to talk about than grabbing on to time and making the most of every single moment that Hashem gives us. Because time is life. And if I'm not making the most of it, is there purpose of me being here? In Mitzrayim, we're going through these parashios, Shemos, Ve'era, Bo, B'Shalach. You can really say it's one long parasha. One long Leil Seder. Galus Mitzrayim, Geulas Mitzrayim. You get a little bit lost, even which parasha, what's going on exactly. Of course, we know this week we're going to be reading about Kriyas Yamsuf and the Geula. I want to take us back for a moment. You see, we all know that in Mitzrayim, as the Torah tells us, in Parashas Shemos, that the Mitzrayim, they placed upon us Avoidas Parach. Avoidas Parach. What is Avoidas Parach? What is this Avoidas Parach? So if you look in Rashi, in Parashas Shemos, right in the beginning, you'll find Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Rashi says, Avodas Parach is Avoida Kasha, difficult back-breaking labor, Hamafareches Es Aguf, that literally breaks the body. Back-breaking labor. Difficult, hard labor. Siberia labor. That's what was going on in Mitzrayim. Problem is as follows. If you read through Chumash and you get to Parashas Behar, so you'll find that there are the laws, the halachos, the psukim that deals with an eved. Deals with an eved that we as a Jew would have. If you would have an eved, and there are laws how to treat your slave, how to treat your servant. Lo sirda bo v'farach, the Pasuk in Behar says. You can't place upon your Eved avodas parach. The same exact words. You can't put that upon your Eved, upon your slave. So what would you assume Rashi should say there? What would Rashi say there? The same Rashi, give pshat, would say avodas hamafarach, as a good, but that's not what he says. If you look in Parshas Behar, Rashi says, Avodas Parach, by the Eved, of a Yid, that you can't place upon your Eved, is Avodah She'enot Tzricha. It's Avodah, it's work that's unnecessary, meaningless, completely futile. For example, Rashi explains, you gave your Eved to heat up a cup of water, which by the way, it's not like today, you go throw it in the microwave. It meant you had to go chop some wood and make a fire and go and heat up this cup of water. And you take the cup of water and you just put it on the shelf and let it cool down. Completely unnecessary. Or, you have him dig some holes around your property and then go fill them up, for example. Meaningless work. That's how Rashi explains Avodas Parach by a slave. So how could the same Rashi, by the Avodah Mitzrayim, say it's backbreaking, backbreaking Avodah, and by your slave of an Eved Ivri, your slave, you can't go and give him meaningless work? So what does the word Parach really mean? Where else do we know? It's in the Beis Hamikdash. There were the Paroiches. And what the Paroiches did, the Paroiches separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedashim. The Paroiches was a wall and then a curtain that separated the Holy and Holy of Holies. As you hear that term a lot here. The Kodesh Kedashim. In other words, Parach really means, Paroiches really means to separate. So Rashi's a pasht and he says as follows. Avodas Parach, which is work that separates. By your slave, it would make absolutely no sense to make him do backbreaking labor. You want your slave to work for you. You want your slave to be productive, to help you. If you give him backbreaking labor, he's not going to be able to work anymore. You're going to destroy him. So you would never do that. The Torah doesn't have to tell you not to do that. Why would you do that? It makes no sense. Oh, but you still want to separate from him. You still might feel the need to let him know you're the master. And you're nothing. So what would you do to make him know that and make him feel separated from you, which is Parach? You give him meaningless work. Useless work. Because when a person is involved in useless, meaningless work, you feel so low, like nothing. You don't feel on the same level as your master. Now in Mitzrayim, the Mitzrim, they were enslaving us just to enslave us. They were enslaving us just to make us feel low. They didn't care about our productivity. They didn't need our help. So there they want to completely destroy us. And their pashut pshat is, in order to make us feel low, they'll physically break us. Avodah Mefarechet Esot Guf. So that's why Rashi explains it differently. But it's one and the same, actually. It's to cause separation and disconnect from feeling a high level of self-esteem, from being who you should be. But in fact, you know what's true and it's very interesting? We all know the famous Medrash, you all learned it in nursery school, that in Mitzrayim, it was also Avodah Sheinah Tzricha. What do we know about Pisom and Ramses? They were built on quicksand. So the Mitzrim decided they're going to lower us, not just with backbreaking labor, but also with useless and meaningless activity. In other words, Chevra, listen closely. When a person is involved in unproductive maisim, when a person is involved in their life with useless activity, is living their life and looks back at the end of the day, what did I do today? What have I done today? How was I productive today? How was I living a meaningful life? And can't say much about it. You feel low. You feel useless. You feel lower than even a chvesnish, a behemoth that's doing something in this world. You think that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu put you on this world? You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on this world to watch Netflix for 2 hours a day? That's real productive activity. Really, I walk away from that. I really achieved something. It was great. Awesome. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in the world to spend 3-4 hours a day on our phone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you on the world to be laying in your bed and taking your third nap of the day? Think about it, Chavir. Because not only are we wasting the unbelievable matana of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, how are we going to feel? We feel low. We feel separated. We feel disconnected. You know, there's a famous story. I think it's only a mashal. I don't know if it ever happened. was one of, in a Soviet labor camp. There was an individual there for like 10 years. And his job was to turn this wheel. All day long he would turn a wheel. And they told him that behind the wall on the other side that the wheel was connected to, he was like, whatever it was, producing something unbelievable. You know, he was, I don't know, it was turning some mill and breaking up the wheat to turn it into flour. And all day that was his job. For 10 years. And he did it. Wasn't easy, but he did it. After 10 years, one of the Russian soldiers takes him and says, "You want to see all that you're achieving? You want to see all that you're doing?" And he took him, there was a door in the corner that was always locked, and he took him to the other side of the wall. And you know what was on the other side of the wall? Absolutely nothing. And he immediately fainted and passed away. He couldn't handle the realization, the recognition, that in fact for 10 years he was doing nothing. For 10 years he was doing nothing. Useless life. Imagine what the revelation is going to be to each and every one of us, Acher Mei Vesrim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us that film, which by the way, they're Mekoros in Zohar and Kabbalah. These are not just things that we learn at a young age made up by Ichveshish, our third grade Rebbe. And we see all the hours upon hours of our life that were wasted time, were unproductive, meaningless. Be worse than any Gehenim. Worse than any Gehenim. What are our days like? In a chevra, you have the schus to be in yeshiva now. You have the schus that your parents are spending a ridiculous amount of money to send you to learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael. To send you to an incredible yeshiva with incredible rabbeim, steps from the holiest place in the world, that takes care of everything you need. You have all your meals. You have wonderful accommodations. You have everything in the world you need. Your parents are like spending crazy money. Some of your parents are literally working 3 months of the year so they could send you here. Literally. Like, that's no exaggeration. 3 full months of the year could go towards this tuition, perhaps. And you're going to come here, and you're going to say, "I put in, you know, I showed up to davening, you know, 15 minutes late. And yeah, I'm doing 10 times more than I've ever done in my life. I come to morning Seder, and I hack around for, you know, an hour talking to my friends. And I learn for half an hour, and I pay attention to half the shiur. Pre-shiur is good. Post-shiur, I sleep during it, let's be real. Afternoon Seder, I'm going to one or two of the classes. Night Seder, I show up to my Shana Bet Chavrusa. Took upon a little bit more. From 11 till 1 in the morning, I'm just wasting my life. You think you're going to feel good about yourself? Is this how we're going to grow? Is this how we're going to be most productive? Is this how you're going to grab on to this incredible gift of life and show yourself in the Rabbeinu Shalom of how much you appreciate it? But I'll tell you the truth. Don't do it for your parents. And don't even do it for the Rabbeinu Shalom. You do it for yourself. Everybody in this room wants one thing more than anything else in the world. There's one thing we want more than anything else in the world. It's one word. Called simcha, happiness. So some of us think if we have a lot of money, we're going to find that, and some of us think if we're going to find a gorgeous girl, we're going to have that, and some of us think if I have a ton of great friends, I'm going to have that, and some of us think that it'll come from tremendous yedius and Torah. You know when you'll be happy?
You'll be happy when you're happy with yourself. When you feel good about what you're doing.
When you know that you're living a life full of shleimus, full of completion. The Maharal explains that simcha and shleimus go hand in hand. And when you live every moment and make the most of every moment, that's when you'll feel the highest level of simchas achayim. When you're grabbing onto every single moment. And maybe what that means for each of us is very different. Maybe it's true, by the way. I'm not saying every guy here has the ability to sit and learn Gemara for 12 hours a day. Or even 10 hours a day. But there's so many different limudim. There's so many different limudim. So take upon to learn a little chassidus, a little halacha. Take English farm. Take an English storybook and read it for 45 minutes a day that you're going to grow from during 45 minutes that you can't be doing something else. You can't even do that. Find a chesed to be a part of. Be involved nonstop to the best of your ability in productive avodah. Not chas v'sholom, avodah parach. Because that is the greatest galus. The greatest galus is the galus we bring upon ourselves and cause us misery when I don't feel good about myself. A little over a month ago, in the Five Towns community and the New York community, there was a terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy. A tragedy that's very hard to talk about because he was very close to my family, one of my father's best friends. Dr. Richie Friedman, Zecher Sadish Kadosh Levracha. Dr. Richie Friedman was, I believe, 55 years old. A very young man. And Dr. Richie Friedman, he was a superstar surgeon. He was the medical director of Hatzolah of New York. He started Hatzolah in many communities. He was an ish chesed she'ein kamo. If he wasn't doing chesed, he was sitting and learning, or davening, or spending time with his family. There was a shloshim about 2 weeks ago. And at the shloshim, his son Shmuel Aryeh got up and he explained as follows. You see, his father, Dr. Friedman, was walking home from shul, Matzei Shabbos Kodesh. Again, it's now about 6 weeks ago. He was walking home from shul on Washington Avenue in Lawrence, New York. And he was hit by a car and killed on the way home from shul. And his son got up. His son got up and he said, I finally understood why my father was taken during those moments. Not why so early in his life, but why those moments in the week. He said, we all know, when we learn it by David HaMelech, that when a person is being productive and leading a meaningful life, then the Malchamoves has no shlita, can't rule over you. Right? We know David HaMelech knew he was going to die on Shabbos, so he didn't stop learning. The Malchamoves couldn't get him until there was a distraction, and he stopped for a moment, and the Malchamoves grabbed him. Right? We all know the story. He says, my father didn't stop for one moment. My father was doing chesed 24/7. The only moments a week that he wasn't involved in a chesed were those 8 minutes, he said, his 8 to 10 minutes walk home from shul, because the moment he got home, he was going to start up again, dealing with everyone in the world that he helps. That was the only time the Malach Mavis could have gotten him. So I had to take him in such a way. At such a time. What are our days like? Think about it. Be honest with yourself. Are we making the most of our days? Are we making the most of the moments that Hashem has given us? Or are we involved in some level of... I hate to say it like this, but if you stop and think about it, it's emotional, spiritual suicide. When we just waste our lives. Because we have to happen to live in a world of technology, which means I have to throw away my life to it and waste my time. when I could be being productive, be learning Torah, be growing. Who knows what you have inside you? Have you pushed enough for it? Have you sacrificed for it enough yet? Have you lived yet? I want to share with you a special Torah. I have a brother, Moshe. Some of you know my brother, Moshe. Moshe is about 33 years old. And I remember this at his bris milah. Now, I remember the bris, but I remember on the video of the bris, seeing this like a few days after. I was 6 years old at the time. The first rav of the Young Israel of Lawrence Cedarhurst in the five towns was an ish gadol tzaddik. His name was Rav Nachum Tzvi Kornmel. He was like, you know, like chevra with like Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. He was the real stuff. When they had kashrus shailas, they would call him. He wrote many svarim. Why he was by us, it's another story. We don't have to get into that right now. But so Rav Kornmel was by my brother's bris. My uncle was taking a video and asked Rav Kornmel to give a bracha. Could you give my brother a bracha? And he gives the following bracha. He says, you should be zocha to live a life of chayim. Be zocha to live a life of chayim. And I remember even as a six-year-old boy saying, what's he talking about? What is he talking about? Like, I knew already chayim means life. To live a life of life? He's just repeating himself. To live a life of bracha, to live a life of simcha, to live a life of life. So it took me many years. I didn't answer this question until my first year in Eretz Yisrael, and I was learning in Keren B'Yavne. And my Revi, Rav Mendel Blachman, Shlita, shared the following idea with us. Rav Blachman explained as follows. If you look in Parshas Vayigash, if you look at the meeting for the first time between Paro, the world leader of the Mitzrim of the Egyptians, and Yaakov Avinu, the monotheistic leader of the Jewish nation, you find a very interesting dialogue. I'll read it to you. Vayave Yosef as Yaakov Avi v'amidei lefnei Paro. Yosef brought his father and stood in front of Paro. Vayivarach Yaakov as Paro, and Yaakov blessed him. Shalom aleichem. Vayomer Paro Yaakov, kami yimei shnei chayecha. Yaakov, Paro says to Yaakov, how old are you? How old are you? Vayomer Yaakov Paro, yimei shnei megurai, the days I've sojourned in this world, shloshim maschon, 130 years. Ma'af v'roim, yimei shnei chayai, but they've been few and difficult, and there were much less days. I haven't achieved and reached the days of my forefathers, of Avram and Yitzchak. Vayivarach Yaakov as Paro, and then Yaakov said, blessed him again, vayetim lefnei Paro, and he left. What is going on here? This great meeting between the two world leaders, it sounds a little bit like two old men meeting in the park. Hey, Shalom Aleichem, how you doing? How old are you? It's been a tough life. I'm 100 years old. Yeah, I have some children, grandchildren. They don't speak to me anymore. Oh, how's the weather? You know, today's nice. They say tomorrow it's going to be raining. Oh, so nice to meet you. Have a great day. Literally, right? That's what it sounds like. This is the conversation the Torah tells us between Yaakov Avinu and Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Really? Like, come on, really? So listen to what Rav Blachman explained. And if you want to read it inside, Rav Samson Rafal Hirsch says the same exact idea very beautifully. If you look closely, Yaakov, when answering this question of Paro, uses two distinct words when referring to life. He starts out by saying, Yimei Shnei Migurai, the days that I've physically sojourned, some would translate as lived, have been Maas, Shloshim Maas Shana, 130 years. But then he says, Yimei Shnei Chayai, my days of life are Ma'at V'ram, have been bad. Meaning what?
The way he explains is as follows.
To Paro, to the outside world, there's a world of eat, drink, and be merry. There's only one life. Physical pleasure, physical life. Achievement of life is if you're wealthy and you have luxuries. And if you have constant physical pleasure. And you know what? Yaakov was saying back, my life, physically, I've been here 130 years. But see, Yaakov went through a lot in his life. Esav running after him to kill him, and then Lavan switching his wives on him, and then Yosef HaTzadik is gone. And because of all that he's gone through, and all that he has to work for years for all his wives, he thought, and he was telling Paro, I've physically been in this world 130 years, but I've lived much less than that. Yimei Shnei Chayai is not Yimei Migurai. There's physical sojourning in the world, there's physically being, and there's living. A life of meaning, a life of purpose. And Yaakov didn't feel that he accomplished that at this point yet. We have to ask ourselves, we're sitting here, 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old. We've been in this world, we've sojourned. Have we lived? Are we living? What are our days like? And I know. Say, Rebbe, what do you mean? You compare what I'm doing now, compare it to a year ago? Shkoyach, that makes it any better if you're wasting half the day? Do you really need a 3-hour break? Do you really need a 3-hour at the end of the night? Are we living? That's the question we have. Are we alive? Are we living productive, meaningful lives? And some of us, the first step has to be getting rid of the distractions. Which everyone here has their different vices, whatever those are. Whatever those distractions are that are holding us back from being able to be as productive as we could be. And you say it's hard. It's difficult. I like it. It's true, it is hard. There's no bigger nisayon. There's no bigger test. You know, we find this week Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. The Yidden are standing there at the sea, standing there at the Yamsuf. The Mitzrim are running after them. Mamish running after them, ready to kill them. Yet only one Jew is ready to jump into the sea. Only one. Nachshon ben Aminadav. Why not? Why is no one else willing to sacrifice a little? Why is no one else jumping into the water? Comes the Sichus Moshe Reb Chaim Shalevitz, Tzatzal, my Rebbe's Rebbe. Reb Chaim Shalevitz explains that it's part of our chemical, biological makeup to give up our lives for God. If God would ask us to die out Kiddush Hashem, we're all ready. As we've seen over the centuries and centuries of years, thousands and thousands of Jews, some very little Torah knowledge, ready to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad for the Rabbeinu Shalom. Because that's part of our nature from Avram Avinu, from Yitzchak Avinu. Avram jumped into the fire, became part of who we are. Yitzchak laid down and said, kill me, I'm ready to go. It's part of who we are. But by Kriyas Yamsus, we weren't going to give up our life for Hashem. We were going to sacrifice while we're still alive. We were going to live through it. But it might be difficult. It might be hard. It's much harder, Reb Chaim Shalevitz says, to live a life of Kiddush Hashem, to be Moser Nefesh while we're alive, than to give up your life out to Kiddush Hashem. We have to start being Moser Nefesh, the sacrifice. It doesn't mean it's easy, but we can do it. Because then, once Nachshon ben Aminadav did it, we can do it. And ultimately, do it for yourself. Ultimately, that's how you'll be most besimcha. When I'm living constant, consistent, meaningful, productive days. But it takes Moser Nefesh. the bonus I'm giving Matana. If you take the gematria, Ma Tam Lanu Diyasiyas Mitzrayim. Ma Tam Lanu Diyasiyas Mitzrayim. What's the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to Yisiyas Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf? Ma Tam Lanu Diyasiyas Mitzrayim. Exactly gematria 1140. Exactly gematria Mesiras Nefesh. He wants us to be Moser Nefesh for Him. He wants us to sacrifice. Because anything meaningful in life, you're going to be willing to sacrifice for. One day, b'shatoy v'slachas, the right person at the right time, you're going to have beautiful, wonderful wives. Don't forget, the right person at the right time. And you're going to love her. And you're going to care about her. And you know how you know if you really love her and really care about her? You're going to be willing to sacrifice for her. You're going to be willing to give up what you want for her. You're going to be willing to sacrifice your own desires to make her happy. So the Eibishter, if I truly have this relationship that was built with Hashem, it's true, it's hard at times to be productive every moment. Take sacrifice. Who's ready to step up? Who's ready to start living? You hear? You're trying to become and build that foundation as a Ben Torah. And it has to be a very strong foundation. Because if it's not a very strong foundation, how do you think that's a foundation that's not going to crumble when you throw yourself back into an environment that isn't an environment stepped from Kodesh Kodashim, isn't an environment with incredible Rabbeim, isn't an environment in Yeshiva where the whole entire purpose is to grow? How are you going to be able to keep that if you don't do it now? The only way to build that foundation now is to utilize every single moment. To make the most of every single moment. I can't even express to you how jealous I am of every single one of you. You don't understand how jealous I am of every single one of you. If I wanted to do what you're doing now, if I wanted to sit and learn all day, and grow in my relationship with Hashem in the way that you have the ability to, I would be completely wrong. Neglecting my wife, neglecting my 5 beautiful children, neglecting my incredible Talmidim. I will never again be able to do what you're doing now. And I'm so jealous of you that you have this opportunity right now to have all day to grow. All day to work on yourself. All day to learn Torah. All day to daven. And you're not going to be as productive as you can. And you're not going to grab on to this time that you only have right now and you'll never have it again. You're going to really waste time? You're going to really go in your room and watch anything on your phone? How could somebody in yeshiva, at this point in your life, have anything on your phone but calling, texting, and WhatsApp so you can be in touch with people that you love? Why would you have anything else on your phone? Stop and think about it. Is it productive? Is it meaningful? Is it helping your relationship with Hashem? Helping your learning? Really, think about it. Are you living with that? So jealous of you. At least give your chance to become somebody. Give yourself a chance to become somebody. Try it. Throw yourself in. It's Mesiras Nefesh. I don't mean it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But understand it's Emes. And you'll reap the most benefit from it. Not the Rebbeinu Shalom, not me, not your parents. You'll be the most besimcha from it. And that's what we all want. You'll be the happiest when you're most productive. When you feel great about what you're accomplishing, what you're achieving, real success, not meaningless hours. Let me just end with a story. Many, many years ago, there was once a sword crafter. And he was known worldwide by his reputation for creating these swords that were genuine level. That were genius level. People revered this man. He was the master craft person of the sword people. He was the best in the world. One day there was a great king. And the great king had heard about his sword crafter, who was playing at Picasso level. I must meet this man. So the king's people went out and found this sword crafter in a very small village. And they brought the sword crafter to meet the king. The sword crafter came in and he was very humble, he was very gentle. The king in return was also very gracious and very welcoming. Then the king asked the sword crafter his favorite question when he would meet a master. He said, "Sword crafter, what is the secret to your extraordinary excellence of what you do?" The sword crafter said, "Well, it's very simple, king. Ever since I was a young child, I was exposed to the craft of making swords. I fell in love with it. Didn't only speak to my head and my logic, it spoke to me at the most deep and soulful level. It spoke to my heart. When I was a young child, I made a decision that I would be the master sword crafter. As I grew up, I read books on sword crafting. And if something did not relate to sword crafting, if it did not have the word sword in it, if it did not look like a sword, if it had nothing to do with the art of sword crafting, I did not spend my time with it. That is the secret of my mastery." You want to master life? You want to master and become whoever you could become as a Ben Torah, as an Eved Hashem, as a good person? Don't spend a moment on anything else but can help you achieve that goal. Why would you? Why would you? Make the most of every moment Hashem is gifting you at this extraordinary time in your life. Don't chas v'sholom be putting yourself in galus of avodas parach. Look back at the end of every day and say to yourself, "I made the most of every moment of that day." And you're going to walk out of this year and Amir Hashem next year, and as long as you can have this tkufa, this time in your life, a master and the happiest person in this world. Everyone should have a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh.